Good morning. It's the 26th of July, 2026 today. And let's come and worship the Lord our God. This is a poem from John Newton. It's a well-known one called Prayer Answered by Crosses. I'd like to read it for us now as we come to worship. You'll notice that it tells a story. Newton is saying, I wish to grow in the Lord. And the Lord answered that prayer. But he did it by first humbling me and bringing me down and making me low. But it's in that way that the Lord grows us in grace and grows us in knowing him. So please hear the poem. I'll read all of it to us, and then we'll come and worship God. I asked the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, that I might more of his salvation know, and seek more earnestly his face. It was him who taught me thus to pray, and he, I trust, has answered that prayer. But it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hoped that in some favoured hour at once he'd answer my request, and by his love's constraining power subdue my sins and give me rest. But instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Yea, more, with his own hand he seemed intent to aggravate my woe, crossed all the fair designs I schemed, blasted my girds and laid me low. Lord, why is this? I trembling cried. Will thou pursue thy worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials that I employ, from self and pride to set thee free, and break thy schemes of earthly joy, that thou may find thy all in me. But will you bow with me now and please pray to God. Let's pray. Lord, we owe all to you, everything. And you were good to answer John Newton's prayer by growing him in faith and grace. But you do that by first bringing him low, because the proud heart can't grow in anything. Lord, be honoured, we pray today, and lifted high. And may you deal with us, even if it be severely, may you deal with us in your love, that we would desire to honour you and praise you, to grow in everything that is good in you, Lord, to know more of your love for us in Christ Jesus and the depth of what he did at the cross, the power of his resurrection, yes, even to share in his sufferings. We pray that your spirit would fill us, Lord, that we would have this heart to praise you. Without him, we cannot praise you. We pray that you would be with us in this way. Bless your name, Lord, and lift everything within us to you. Teach us to die daily, to take up our cross and follow you, our Lord. We pray these things that you would be honoured in our midst. We ask in Jesus' name, his holy name. Amen. Will you please stand and we'll sing now, My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness.
Thank you.
once again, today's recording will probably be a little bit shorter than usual because if you're at Walker, we have a guest who will be preaching for us. Ben Wilkins, the Wilkins family are with us. They've been in Niger. They had to leave Niger at the end of last year because of security concerns. And now they're back in Australia and they're with us for this Lord's Day. And Ben will open for us Philippians chapter 2. And therefore this recording is for those of us who won't be there, but we'll still pray together. And I'd still like to read to us too from the Heidelberg Catechism. We're coming to the end of it. The last section is all about the Lord's Prayer. And I'd like to read to us now what it says. Please think about its answer to what prayer is. Question 116. Why do Christians need to pray? Answer. Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness that God requires of us. And also because God gives his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking God for them. With that, will you please bow with me now and pray to God, for we need to pray, and we will ask him and we will groan inwardly for the gifts that God would give us, his grace and Holy Spirit. So please pray. Lord, we cannot find the words that we need in order to praise you and to bring our requests before you, for you hear us. You're our loving Heavenly Father. But we cannot find the words that we need. They fail us. But the Holy Spirit who lives within us, thank you that he takes our weaknesses and with his own strength comes before your throne of grace and lays our prayer before you. And when we look to Christ Jesus, our great high priest, who sits at your right hand, whoever lives to intercede for us, we praise you, Lord. In him we are forgiven. And his holy head wore a crown of thorns and humiliation and mocking and pain and suffering for our sake. But so deep and rich is your love for us. Please, Lord, hear our prayers now. We lift before you the Wilkins family and thank you that they can join us today for Ben and Antonia, for Theo, Cedric, for Dominic and Jemima. We pray your blessing upon each one of them, that you'd care for them. We lift to you, Lord, the trouble that has been in the country of Niger in the last few years. We pray for all those who call upon you in that country. Protect and watch over them. We pray that good might yet come out of this situation. We pray for those Christians who now live in what could be a hostile place or time. May you strengthen their faith. Keep them firm. Give them grace and wisdom. We thank you for them. We ask your blessing on them in every way. Lord, we wish to pray too for others. We pray for young ones that we know, that you'd watch over them. In particular, protect young minds, we ask. May there be no evil or rot that gets into the young mind. Protect their innocence, we pray, and draw them to Jesus Christ. That is the protection that you give. The heart sealed in Christ will soon recognize sin and flee from it. We pray for those who are elderly that we know, aged. That can be a vulnerable time of life as well. Please protect them, we pray. We pray that in their old age, they may yet see another generation grow up to praise you. That's the desire of every believer. And lastly, Lord, we pray that in this week ahead, we may rejoice in you, our God. May there be many voices, young, old, weak voices and broken voices, but all of them coming and praising you, our God. And may we join, therefore, that great crowd that is invisible now, and yet beyond number, no one could ever count how many they are, who come and worship the Lion Lamb, Jesus Christ. So may our hearts be softened. May you write your truth upon our heart and sweep away every blockage that we have. It would stop your grace. We are hostile, Lord. Soften us, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name and thank you. Amen. Let's sing now, Jesus Sinners Does Receive. Please stand and please sing.
Sinners does receive word of surest consolation, word all sorrow to relieve, word of pardon, peace, salvation. None like this can comfort give. Jesus, sinners does receive. None like this can comfort give. On God's grace we have no claim. Yet to us His pledge is given. He hath sworn by His own name. Open are the gates of heaven. Take to heart this word and live. Jesus, sinners does receive. Take to heart this word and live. When the helpless lamb doth stray, after it the shepherd pressing, dark and dangerous way, brings it back, His own possessing. Jesus seeks the overleaf. Jesus sinners does receive. Jesus seeks the overleaf. Jesus seeks the overleaf. Oh, how blessed it is to know, were as scarlet my transgression, it shall be as white as snow. By thy blood and bitter passion, for these words I now believe. Jesus, sinners does receive. For these words I now believe. Now my conscience is at peace. From the law I stand acquitted. Christ has purchased my release, and my every sin remitted. Not remains my soul to grieve. Jesus, sinners does receive. Not remains my soul to grieve. Not remains my soul to grieve. Jesus, sinners does receive. Word of surest consolation. Word of sorrow to relieve. Word of pardon, peace, salvation.
Well, it's the 26th of July today, and as I explained before, actually, if you're at Walco, then we have the Wilkins family visiting us, and Ben will be opening God's Word for us. And so just for this recording today, we'll open to Proverbs. I'd like to open to Proverbs chapter 9. It is a chapter, I think, that stands alone in some ways. It's a chapter that speaks to us and calls us to fear God and to know God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I'll read the chapter for us in a moment. But first, before we open, please understand this. It's Proverbs that we're opening to. And a proverb is a short, pithy saying that is generally true, but it's not a promise. It's a saying that is generally true. For example, one of the proverbs is, raise up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that's not a promise, but it is a saying that is generally true and blessed by God. And there are 31 chapters in the Proverbs. I think there are approximately 900 of these short, pithy sayings of God's wisdom to guide and to lead us. Today we'll read chapter 9, Proverbs chapter 9. And yet, you'll notice that this chapter isn't like most of the other chapters. Proverbs 9 is not short, pithy sayings about how we are to live. Instead, it's an invitation. It's a call, even a challenge, to follow God. Now, before we read it again, let me just make two more points here. The first is very important, that wisdom is something that can be learned. It can be acquired or received by us. How does a person become wise? Is it something that some people have naturally and other people don't? Is it dependent upon our family background? Is wisdom innate within us? Almost something you have? Or is it something that can be learned? And what this wonderful book of Proverbs makes clear is that wisdom is not like intelligence or athleticism or musical ability. Some people have a natural ear for music. But wisdom is not like that. Wisdom is something that can be learned. It can be received as a gift. And that's crystal clear when you read Proverbs chapter 1. Wisdom does not depend, therefore, upon my family background or anything else like that. It's not about being an expert. We live in a world that loves experts, but wisdom is different. It can be received, and that gives a fool like me hope. Wisdom can be learnt and acquired. And so the true question that is to be put to us is, am I willing to learn it? The second point is that we are to pray for wisdom. That means humbly coming before God and laying before him every situation. It means that it is a gift that we receive from God. We pray for wisdom. One of Paul's prayers in Ephesians chapter 1 is that the Father of glory would give you the spirit of wisdom, that as you come to know him more and more, you will grow in wisdom. You think, what do we pray for one another? I mean, what do we pray for other believers? It's an honest answer. Father, please give a wisdom that comes only from you. I think that probably each of us have situations and things on our minds. Even now, if you know yourself, I'm sure there are things that you are thinking about. Today is about laying foundations, about fearing God, loving God, seeking him. And he, because he is good, will guide us. So please open your Bible. Wisdom can be learnt, but we only learn it when we're on our knees in prayer before God. Wisdom can be asked for, and it will be given by God, who is generous. So let me pray. Read now for us, then pray, and then we'll come to this, understand this chapter. But I'll read first. Proverbs chapter 9. I'll read the entire chapter, which is 18 verses. Invitations of wisdom and of folly. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come, eat my food, and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, though, and he will love you. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The woman, Folly, is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of the grave. This is God's word, and let me pray for us now as we come to it. Lord, whenever we open your word, you speak to us, and you speak very clearly about the way of wisdom and the way of folly. We remember Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And if any of us would follow him, then we will never walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life. And that's a promise for today and eternity. We're to simply take it up and obey. Be with us now, Lord. We'd be fools not to listen. Speak to us in Jesus' name. We pray this for the glory of your name. Amen. What concerns a Christian is knowing and following God, to glorify him and enjoy him forever. I remember I've mentioned before a book that was written by Jim Packer called Knowing God in the 1970s. It's a good book in many ways. It sums up our great desire to know God. He begins the book by telling a story about a group of travellers who were walking through a town on foot. They were on the king's highway, you could say. But then as they walked through the town, there was a second group of people who were sitting high up on a balcony, watching the travellers go by. Packer calls them balconeers in his book. And they could see a little bit, and they could overhear a little bit of what the travellers were talking about. They could see some of the road that they were on. But Packer explains the difference between these two groups of people. The balconeers would comment. They'd give their opinion on things, such as the strange way that the travellers would walk and what they thought the road that they were travelling on was like and so on. They would make judgments and comments all from the balcony. But then, he says, the travellers themselves were the one who were actually on the road, and their concern was the practical job of following the king's highway. Now, are you picking up the point? The balconeers, they look down, they comment and pass judgment. They thought about everything that they thought was right and wrong. In other words, they thought they were wise. I'm sure that they were loud in shutting down anyone who disagreed with them, though. Whereas the travellers on the road, well, they were simply concerned with being grateful to God that their sin had been forgiven and that they could truly know him and follow his path. Now, I think that that is an excellent picture of the fool versus the wise in this chapter. The fool, of course, is the balconeer, full of opinion. Every fool thinks that he's a professor. But he has no fear of God, nor of others. The traveller is the wise one, who knows God, fears and loves God, and is concerned with following his path, and it's a good picture. Now, we could probably change the picture, though, a little bit, and make it fit with the verses that we've just read, from Proverbs chapter 9. The balconeers are still there calling out, and in these verses, the balconeers are given a name, Lady Folly. That's who we meet in verse 13, Lady Folly. But now you'll see that there's someone else, another person, maybe on a different balcony, and she too is calling out to us, and her name is Lady Wisdom. She's God's wisdom. She was there at the creation when God formed the world and wove us together in the depths of the earth. And every single one of us, whether we're old or young, hear these two voices. Now, here's the warning that comes to us, though, as we open this chapter. Don't spiritualize what we read here, because this is very practical. This is about following God in the day-to-day things of life. Now, if you look at the chapter, you'll notice three things. You'll notice that in the NIV, which is what I have in front of me, it's been broken into four paragraphs. The first paragraph is verses 1-6, and it's all about Lady Wisdom who calls out to us. Notice she has built her house and hewn or carved it out with seven pillars. Seven is often the number of perfection, of course. Her wisdom is perfect, and she calls to us. And then you'll see that down in 13, there is actually the start. It's actually the start of the fourth paragraph and the final paragraph. And it's here that we meet our second lady, Lady Folly, and she too calls to us. And in between Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom are the two middle paragraphs from verses 7 to verse 12. And these are the key to the whole thing. The difference between being a fool and being wise. And verse 10, I think in particular, is the key to it all. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord and knowledge of the Holy One, knowledge of God himself, is understanding. And that's perfectly logical. If God is my maker, he is the potter, and I am the clay, then it makes sense that the maker knows what is wise and what is best for us. Well, let's start now by coming back to verse 1, and we'll meet Lady Wisdom again. Please listen to what it says about her in verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars, so her house is solid and good and perfect. Now verse 2, she goes on. She has a perfect house, and now she prepares the perfect feast. She, Wisdom, has prepared her meat, and she has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. In other words, Wisdom has a feast for us if we're willing. She's left nothing undone. And now in verse 3, you'll notice that what Lady Wisdom does. She has sent out her maids, and then she herself calls to us from the highest point of the city. Now, you understand exactly what that means. It's saying that wisdom calls to each one of us in life. That is, that we can know God's true wisdom for us in life. Verse 4, she says, all who are simple, come in here. And verse 5, the invitation is then to us. Come, eat my food, eat the food of wisdom, and drink the wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. You will walk in the way of understanding. So leave your old ways and come to Lady Wisdom's house to live wisely and rightly. And the invitation is not to the influential or to those who are great in society, but it's to the simple. And I hear an echo here of Jesus in John chapter 10 saying, I have come that my sheep may have life and may have it to the full. Now come down to verse 13 then and meet the second lady, Lady Folly. And look at her and look at what she's like. It says this in verse 13. Lady Folly is loud. She is undisciplined. She is without knowledge. Now verse 14, you'll see that Lady Folly also has a house, and she also sits at the highest point of the city, and she also calls out to us. It says, she sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. And her call, you'll notice, is similar to Lady Wisdom's call. that all who are simple come in here, she says, to those who lack judgment. But verse 17, you look at the heart of her message, where Lady Wisdom has a banquet of the best for us. Lady Folly sweetly says to us, stolen water is sweet, it's sweet to taste. If it feels good, then do it. That's her message. And food that's eaten in secret is delicious. If it feels good, just do it. But listen to the warning in verse 18. Little do they, that is those who go into her, who listen to Lady Folly, little do they know that the dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of the grave. If it feels good, then do it. But the warning to us is that sin might taste sweet to start with, but it is a banquet in the grave. And, oh God, please keep us from that. Now, the question in all of this is not, who should we listen to? It's too obvious. We're to listen to Lady Wisdom, of course. We're to go to her house. The better questions are, am I at her house now? If not, then what is the way to her house? And why, in the first place, should I go to her house when Lady Folly offers me sweet things too? And those are the questions that these middle verses answer, I think. So look at verse 7. It's a litmus test, not telling me what I should be, but diagnosing where I am at this point in my life. Whether I'm young or old, it doesn't matter. Where am I? Am I at Lady Wisdom's house? Well, here's the test. Verse 7. Whoever rebukes a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man will incur abuse. Verse 8. But do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. But rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Verse 9. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still, and teach a righteous man and he will add to his wisdom, his learning. The litmus test. The fool insults, abuses and hates being corrected. The fool is unteachable before God. The fool is a hothead. But the wise man or wise woman, whether they're young or old, shows love. And even loves a rebuke because it sets them back on the right path, you see. The wise person can heed or take the rebuke. So am I at Lady Wisdom's house at all? Well, there's the litmus test. How do I respond to God's correction of me? Now please look at verse 10 and ask the most important question in this whole matter. I can see that wisdom is good, but what is the way to Lady Wisdom's house? Yes, I can see that wisdom is good, truly, but I need someone to show me the way to wisdom. That's the question. And verse 10 now tells us in the plainest possible way the answer to that question. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If I start fearing the Lord, then I'm on the way to wisdom, you see, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, and that's as clear as could be. It's not about how smart we are or anything like that. It's all about our attitude to God. Fear him, love him, listen to him, obey him, and you and I will start to live right. To fear the Lord means that in holy love, O God, we submit every part of our lives to you, every action and thought and motive. The invitation is never that God would be a part of our lives. God forbid that. The invitation of Lady Wisdom is that we would fear God and know him. You don't make him a part of your life. And the fear of the Lord means that I begin each day with this new love, new affection, this desire to thank him, to bless him, and that I yearn for what will please him. And isn't it also true that having this one right and good true fear of God will then drive out all other fears that we have? The soothing balm for all my fears is rightly fearing or trusting God. So too, it's this good and right fear of God that drives out bitterness from within me. Because how can I hold on to bitterness when I love, fear and trust God? All my natural self-pity begins to fall away bit by bit. And I might have to do this even 1,000 times before this day is over. But when I rightly fear you, O God, it drives me to prayer and to your word and to your encouragements. And bitterness then loses its edge. It is the first step on the way to wisdom. Now, Lady Folly also speaks to each one of us. Every day she speaks. It's the old self or old Adam. It's the wisdom that you see on the television each morning or each evening. Lady Folly speaks through experts in our world, institutions and departments. If it feels right, then it is right. That kind of wisdom. The child is at the center of things. That kind of wisdom. When Lady Wisdom would actually say to us, no, God is at the center of things, and to fear him is the beginning of right living. And yet here's my problem. I naturally go to Lady Folly. I naturally hear her voice. We have a dog, Maggie. Every day, in fact, only a few minutes ago, people walk by the front fence here, and she thinks that it is her duty to bark at them. Now I call out to her. I say, Maggie, come here. But do you think she ever comes to me? No. And that's what we're like by nature. I naturally go to Lady Folly. If it feels right, then it must be right, I think. And my thinking or my psychology rules over God. But I need to go to Lady Wisdom. I naturally do what I want, but Jesus, my Lord, said that broad is the path that leads to destruction and many are those that go by it. And he is the wisest. He's the most sane man who ever lived. He says very clearly that the path of Lady Wisdom is broad and easy. But don't follow it. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to what is loud in society. It's so easy to follow that, but it leads to destruction. Instead, wisdom begins when I start to fear the Lord, and therefore I seek after what he wants. And you approach any subject or any situation that you face at any point in your life. What am I to do? Well, it begins with, I must fear God in this situation. It doesn't matter about intelligence or about being clever. What matters is God. And so the question at the heart of this is, who will govern me? Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that's the starting point. That will set me on the right path. And, oh God, I pray that where I naturally follow my own way and my own feelings, help me simply to follow you, to fear you, in the little things, day by day, Lord. Please give me a new heart in Jesus Christ and the strength to follow you. What is it that keeps young ones on the straight and narrow, as people say? Is it programs or giving them good role models or therapies and so on? All these things may be good and they do have their place, I don't deny that. But it is God, knowing God and fearing God, that is at the heart of it. So please give me a new heart in Christ Jesus and give me the strength to follow you, O God. Now please look at the last verses, verse 11 and 12, and change the question and ask this. Why in the first place should I go to Lady Wisdom's house? why should I go to God? When Lady Folly also offers me sweet things. And I promise you that Lady Folly's sweet things will look sweeter and taste better than Lady Wisdom's at first. And the answer is that I'm to go to Lady Wisdom's house. I am to fear God and to follow God because that is the only way to life. That's clear in verse 11. Through me, through wisdom, your days will be many and years will be added to your life. Your wisdom will reward you. But if you are a mocker, that is, if you listen to the balconeers and become a balconeer, a fool, then you alone will suffer. And I can't make that any clearer than it is. I must go to Lady Wisdom, to God and to his wisdom. And there's no true wisdom apart from knowing him. Do you know that this is the way of blessing? Jesus says again to us, you must enter by the narrow gate. And he says that God's way is hard, but it leads to life. I naturally go to Lady Folly, but I need to go to Lady Wisdom. Lord Jesus, lead me through the narrow gate, which is you yourself, on the way to life. Well, this has only been a one-time opening of this book of Proverbs. We haven't read it all. We haven't heard it all. But the central question is this: who governs you? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I thank God that he has given his son to redeem a fool such as myself, and that in his goodness he promises to lead us in his way of life. Let me pray for us now, please. Let's pray. Lord, these voices do call loud to us, wisdom and folly. And folly sounds so sweet to us, but its way is death. Wisdom can look so plain and ordinary, but its way is life. And therefore, Lord, may we apply these things practically to our lives and never hold them at arm's lengths. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, we'll sing a Colin Buchanan song, Listen to the Words of Wisdom. But please let me first bless you and seek God's blessing upon you. Believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, may you be patient and wait for the Lord. Take heart, don't despair, even in the disappointments of life. May God yet strengthen your heart from the inside out. And may you say to yourself, I will wait upon the Lord. Please stand now and we'll sing, Listen to the Words of Wisdom.
Listen to the words, listen to the words of wisdom, keep them in your side. Listen to the words, listen to the words of wisdom, for they will be your life. Walk the straight and brighter ways, trust the Lord for all your days. Listen to the words of wisdom, hide them in your heart, it's what you say. It's what you love, it's where you go, it's who you trust, it's when you're young and when you're old. It's a treasure more than silver or gold. So listen to the words, listen to the words of wisdom, keep them in your sight. Listen to the words, listen to the words of wisdom, for they will be your life. Walk the straight and brighter ways, trust the Lord for all your days. Listen to the words of wisdom, hide them in your heart. It's where you look, it's where you don't, It's when you will and when you won't. It's what you leave, it's what you hold. It's a father who will never let go. So listen to the words of wisdom. Keep them in your sight. Listen to the words of wisdom, for they will be your light. Walk the straight and bridle ways, trust the Lord for all your days. Listen to the words of wisdom, hide them in your heart. Walk the straight and bridle ways, trust the Lord for all your days. Listen to the words of wisdom, hide them in your heart.